You have your Bibles with you. We're going to read a few passages of Scripture this morning, and we'll get started. First one is 1 John, and they'll be up on the screen. 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. This is one of the disciples, John, that's writing this. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He wants us to understand who he's talking about here. The life, the only life that was given by God for us, was manifested or revealed, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us or revealed to us, so that we might know him, that we have seen and heard, we declare to you. And the reason he says, as he continues here in this verse, for declaring this is that you also may have fellowship with us. So he's declaring all of this and writing all of this so that you and I, we may be able to have fellowship with him, with us, the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, and these things we write unto you. And why is he writing this to us? And so anyone that can read it all over the world where the Bible is, he's writing it to us so that your joy may be full. God says in his word, John says, Jesus says, God says, he wants your joy to be full. St. John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, you are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for in all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. Everybody say believed. Abraham believed. We have to believe what God says. And just like Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and also he was called a friend of God. Everybody say friend. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject having God as a friend, or more specifically, having God as your friend. And God not only wants you to know that his Son that he sent into this world is your Savior and Lord, But because you know Jesus and have accepted him and have been born into the kingdom of God, and God is not only your Father, but he wants to be your best friend. And so I want to talk about friendship, because that's what God desires for each and every one of us, is for him to be our friend. And we know that he's our friend. And we know that he cares for us. A friend in the scriptures denotes being loved. A friend is dear. A friend is friendly. A friend is a comrade. A friend is a companion. A friend is a partner, shares in our lives. To have fellowship denotes communion, a sharing in common. We share with them. How many of you have had a really good friend? Someone that you really, they loved you and you loved them, and you could talk to them and tell them things about yourself, and they could tell you things about themselves, and they knew that it would be kept secret, and it just really, instead of decreasing your friendship and fellowship, it just brought you closer together. Amen? That's what God wants in your life. He wants to be your best friend. Not just a friend, but your best friend. The best friend you'd ever have or ever could have. Because he can do more being God. He can do more than any friend you ever had. And he wants to do that. That means he wants to help us in our life. So I want to discuss with you the next few minutes what a friend is. While I give you these in order, but they're not really in order as far as God's preference is concerned, they're all for us who have put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, a friend, excuse me, a friend is someone with whom you can share your life. You share his life, he shares your life. And so there's a common sharing and coming together. You spend time and enjoy being with him. He spends time and with you and enjoys being with you, and supplies, as the scripture says, supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So he's a friend that knows all about us, our faults, our failures, our good deeds, our works, whatever, and also our bad deeds, our failures, our sins. But because he's our friend, he loves us anyway. Can somebody say amen? Someone with whom you can share your life. God wants to be your friend. And he wants to share your life. And he wants you to share your life with him. Because being a friend, how many know of us know that being a friend is not just going one direction? You can't be a friend without somebody that you're friends with being a friend with you. Amen? The same thing is true of God. Someone with whom you can share your life. A friend is also someone who cares about you, who loves you. They care about. A friend is someone who affects your life, someone who shares your life and loves you, who cares about you probably more than you care about yourself. Amen? who knows your needs before you even ask. But he also tells us in his word, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes we have not, we don't ask and don't have and don't receive because we don't realize that that God is our closest friend. That he's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He takes care of us. He loves us. And he has our best interest at heart. Not just his, but our best interest at heart. He knows our very thoughts. He knows our needs. He knows our worries. He knows our testing. He knows our trials. He knows our feelings. Whether we confess them to anybody or not, he knows you better than and me. We, as believers, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And there's not a problem or a difficulty that he cannot take care of or fix or mend. And he wants to do that for you. Amen? Every one of us. Because he doesn't love one child more than he loves another. You say, how do you know that, Brother Lewis? Because the Bible says, he sent his Son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So before you loved him, or even knew him, or probably were even born, he died for you. He gave his for God so loved you, he gave his precious Son, so that you might have fellowship with him and he can have fellowship with you. He loves you. He cares about you. Thirdly, and this is really important because sometimes we wonder, well, where is God in our lives? Anybody ever had that problem or issue? Going through some kind of bad situation or circumstance in our lives and we go, well, where is God in all of this? The Bible wants us to know that he's near us. When we're in trouble, he's near us. He knows where we are. He knows exactly what we're going through. And you say, why doesn't he prevent it? Sometimes, you may not ever know, or we may not ever know, he does prevent it. But sometimes he also knows that because he's near us, and because he knows what we're going through, if I understand the Bible correctly, that all of the things that we go through or are going through for our advantage, he knows that what we're going through will teach us something and we'll learn something from it, even if learning from it is, he's using that to get our attention and draw us closer to him so we can enjoy his fellowship more. Amen. So if we look at a trouble and a trial and a problem, I learned to pray over the years. And this is the truth. I pray this from time to time when I find myself in a problem, a circumstance, a situation. And I just simply look up to the Lord and I say, Lord, Father, Heavenly Father, I don't know exactly why I'm going through this situation, or this problem, or this issue, or whatever it is I'm having. But I know you promised to be with me and never leave me nor forsake you, and you know why I'm here. So whatever it is you're trying to teach me, get me through it quick so I can get out of this mess. Amen? That's a good prayer to pray. Amen? Maybe one of the best prayers we could ever pray. The truth being known. So whatever you're trying to show me through this situation or through this circumstance or through this issue that I'm going through, help me learn it quick so I can get out of this. Most of the time, as far as Christians are concerned, when we're going through troubles, because everyone in this world, Christians and non-Christians alike, have problems and issues and troubles, right? And sometimes it's not just us that he's trying to show us what's going on, but sometimes it's for others so we can understand and have empathy and love for them and try to help them and know what to say and do to help them. That's the reason why we're going through this. And I'll tell you, if you're going to be a minister, and we all should be to some degree, more or less, but if we're called, as I was, into the ministry and to do what God wants me to do, and I gave my life to Him, I learned after a while some of the issues that I was going through was not only so I could know them and experience them, because, you know, really, you can't really comfort someone and help someone and strengthen someone, encourage someone, if you don't know exactly what they're going through and where they're being. Do you know that? And that sometimes we have to go through that so God can show us how to minister, how He wants to minister through us to other people and reach out and touch their lives. That's why I'm here this morning, as a matter of fact. That I'm hoping that the message He gave me, which took me, caused me to be late this morning because I was trying to get it all together and to speak it as He wants me to speak it. I apologize for coming in late. So, He's someone that's near us when we're in trouble. And the fourth thing is He's someone who will not leave you in your bad times. He's someone that sticks with us, right or wrong. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And we all need to know that, because we all make mistakes. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. And I'm talking even to Christians. I have never yet, and I myself being one, I have never met a perfect one yet. Have you? We all fail in different ways, especially where God is concerned. One of the most important ways, I guess if I use the word important, is one of the ones that is so important to us is that we don't spend time with Him and maintain fellowship with Him, because, and we go through our days, a lot of times get up and go to work and think about this problem and this job and this person on the job and what we're going to do here and what we're going to do there and what finances we're going to do and bills we're going to pay and all of these kind of things. And we get so busy thinking about our issues and our problems and the things others and things that we think about that we forget about God. Can I share a secret with you? Don't leave Him out. Make Him a part of everything. Let Him be what He wants to be in your life. He wants to be your best friend. And He wants you to know that He's not going to leave you no matter what you've done or what you're going to do. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you before you were even born. And Jesus went to the cross and shed His blood and dismissed His spirit and died and was buried and resurrected on the third day for my sins and your sins. That's how much God loved us. He gave His only begotten Son. It was such a terrible ordeal that the Lord Jesus was fixing to go through when, if you read about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, It was such a bad deal that he was going through and about to go through, he called his disciples together, and Peter and James and John went with him. He went off and started praying, and he prayed, "Father," and I'll just paraphrase it, "if there's any way possible for me not to go through this, please take this cup away from me." That's how horrible it was. And the most horrible part of it, he was God's only begotten Son. And when he died, he would be separated from God, so we wouldn't have to be separated from God. Do you get that? He was separated. As a matter of fact, dying on the cross in those days was probably the most terrible death anyone could go through.
He gave his best. And he asked us to do no less and give our best for those whom we love. That includes husbands, wives, misbehaving children, teenagers, wild teenagers like I was. Maybe shouldn't say this, but I was probably one of the wildest kids in Ingleside. In fact, one of my best friends that I used to run around with, he was probably 2 years older than I was, but I run around with him because he had a car when we were teenagers. Not only that, because I liked him, he liked me. And someone told him when we started this church back in 1979, someone told him, "Did you know that Lewis Cowan is a preacher?" He said he almost fainted. He said, "Lewis Cowan is a preacher?" And they said, "Yes, Lewis Cowan is a preacher." He said, "I have got to go hear that man." And he and his wife, May, came to this church and joined it. And he became one of our deacons and one of my best friends. He was always one of my best friends, but now we were both on the right. We were both nuts, but we were screwed on the right bolt, right? If I can use that. So, last but not least, I close with this, and I may have already said this, but I want to spend a little bit of time on this. He wants us as Christians to enjoy being with Him. As a matter of fact, just the other day, I spent a lot of time sometimes on a computer playing games. I don't suppose I'm the only one that does that. But as I was spending some time, and I probably spent too much time there, but I no doubt I did. And I said, I kind of thought about the Lord, and I said, "Lord, what am I doing here?" He said, "Playing games." It brought me to this point in my life. I said, "Lord, I spend more time doing this than I spend time with you." And that needs to change. Would you please help me? I heard of a great man of God. If I mention his name, probably have heard of him. But he said, "That's not of me. That's of God." because, and I'm not sure he said exactly these words, but he was saying, what that means is that I was nothing and a nobody, lost, damned, condemned, because I was born to the flesh and I lived in the flesh and I was a part of the flesh and I had to be born again by the Spirit of God, and I wasn't. But God loved me anyway. And he said, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here, and none of these things that you give me credit for would have never been done, because I didn't do it, couldn't do it. He did it. He's the one. To him be all praise and honor and glory. The Bible says, but for us as individuals, as Christians, work out your own salvation. You're saved, it's a work. Not to be saved, it's a work that you are saved and you're living your life for him. So you work it out, he says. But I'm not going to leave you alone to do that, he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, even after we become Christians, God's going to work in us his salvation. And he needs our cooperation. And if he doesn't have it, he can't work it. You understand? So, I ask him to forgive me for spending so much time playing games on a computer and taking time away from him when I could be spending some time with him. And it bothered me. Not that he's told me that. It bothered me that I had allowed that to happen in my life, because I'd heard about men that love the Lord so much and knew that he loved them so much that they wanted to spend a lot of time with him during the days of the, they were turning everything. And I'm going to tell you how to turn everything that bothers you over to God whenever it first comes, whatever it is. If it's bothering you, you have a problem or issue, learn right then, Lord, I turn this over to you. I'm turning this over to you. I need your help with this. You have not because you ask not. I want to have more time with you. I want to learn how to love you more. I want to learn how to allow you to live in my life. And I want to learn how you're going to live in my life. And I, believe it or not, I need your help. In all areas and aspects of my life, I need your help. I need your help with your thinking. With my thinking. I need your help with my eyesight. I need your help with my being. I need your help. I need you to be here with me. And I thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Help me to realize that and live like it. Amen. That's what he wants from you and me. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And don't be surprised when he works through you in some special ways. Don't you take credit for it. And don't, because you'll want to do that sometimes. Say, look what God did. Amen. And he doesn't want us to. He shares his glory with no man. To him be all praise and honor and glory. Amen. Let's everybody stand and we'll be dismissed. I want to thank you for your patience being here this morning. Pray God's richest blessings upon each and every one of you. Thank you for being here, for listening to me. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.